Like to welcome everybody here on this Memorial Day weekend, and I spoke with Leonard Becker earlier, and we said that there's lots of people out there making memories to this weekend in the rain, camping in the rain or doing stuff in the rain. You don't always remember the good things that happen, but you do remember the times where it rains on your parade. So, yeah. Especially want to welcome any visitors that might be here that I'm not seeing or that are online with us this morning. I hope that you can feel at ease among us today. Yeah, so let's worship the Lord with Jeff and the worship team here.
Welcome you all here this morning. We're going to do some songs that we maybe haven't done in a little while or don't do that often, but sing along as you are able, and I invite you to stand if you're able. Yeah, and hey, don't be afraid to clap your hands. Hey, we're going to go down to the river.
Let's all go down to the river. There's a man walking on the water. Come along with me, for I want to see this man walking on the water. Well, he could raise the dead from the grave, change the water and turn it into wine. And he could make the lame walk, he could make the dumb talk, and open up the eyes of the blind. Let's all
next song. And today's offering is going to support Peter and Christy Sensenig and the work that they do. Sounds like they're training and all to head back overseas in a little while. And also any children may bring their coins forward for My Coins Count.
Are you fully trusting in His grace, in His power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Okay, let us pray. Father, thank you. Quite honestly, thank you that we can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for that. And I just pray a special blessing for Dwayne this morning. Just feed him all the words that he needs. And of course, open our hearts that we can hear everything you're trying to say to us, Father. And I do pray for this town of Bowmansville as well, as there is much happening this summer for this town. And I just pray everyone in this town feels what you're doing, Father. And I just pray that we can continue to feel you, feel your love, just feel your presence, feel that wisdom we were talking about this morning, and take this time to just honor and praise you completely, Father. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, well, just recently, Mary and I were doing some reading before we turned out the light at night. We often do that. And she was reading a book, I believe it's called Crazy in Love by Francis Chan. And she just pointed out the one line in there. He said, "The point of your life is to point others to Him." And that's what this next song says, "Let My Life Be a Light."
Thank you.
just want to praise Jesus that he signed my pardon. Talks about heaven and talks about people that we may know there that have gone on, and it's where the roses never fade.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just thank you that when we call on you, you are there with us. And we just thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you that you live within us. And we want you this morning. And you are all we want. God, I just pray your touch on Dwayne this morning as he brings us your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your singing this morning.
Well, we're in the middle of a sermon series about spiritual disciplines, and today we'll be hearing about the discipline of fellowship before we get started. In your bulletin, you'll see that about Paul Mimreif's son, Brent, being in the hospital up at Lehigh Valley. He is still there. Paul and Mim are thankful for all your prayers. Brent is still at the hospital, and they want him to undergo a third dialysis treatment, I think, today. He's very bored and is not liking it there because he can't move around. They don't want him to move around a lot. So as we pray here, we'll lift up Brent to the throne of God. Lord, thank you for being here, for being among us as we celebrate Memorial Day weekend here. Lord, I thank you for, sometimes as Mennonites we get a little uneasy and weird about, should I be praying for our military and the people that have served in our country, but I think, Lord, that we want to lift up their families. We specifically think of Kyle this morning. We ask that you would bless him and that he would be a shining light there in the army this morning. And be with Amon and Christine and Ryan as they are away from him. We just ask that you would bless him and be with the families that are remembering those that they have lost as they served in our country. Lord, right now we ask for your blessing on Brent as he is lying there in the hospital thinking about his loss of kidney function. And Lord, I ask that you would give him wisdom to make good decisions, help him to understand all the medical terms and things like that. We just ask that you would give peace to his mind, to Barry, and to Paul, and Mim as well. Lord, I ask that you would also be here among us, and you would allow only the words that you want everybody to hear to be heard that I had to say this morning. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, so I did say that we're going to be talking about the discipline of fellowship. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Acts 2 a while. It'd be 42 to 47 is the official scripture that we're going to be using this morning. Well, Webster, I don't know if Wikipedia says the same thing, but Webster says that fellowship is friendly association of people, and another definition is a group of people sharing common interests. Well, what are groups of people that share common interests? If we were in a Sunday school setting here, and maybe I should do it anyway, what are some groups of people that share common interests that we know? Mechanics. I didn't have that one written down. Hunters, truck drivers. Sports fans. Garden clubs. I didn't have that one written down either. Bible prophecy. Cooks. I'm thankful for cooks, especially one in particular. Well, I have written down, somebody said sports teams, Little League Baseball. I was a Little League Baseball coach for a little bit when my kids were small. Another one I've written down is the fire company or any volunteer organization like the ambulance or whatever. Here at church, we have the youth group. We have Club 26, I think it's called now, and the sewing circle, and you know, the list can go on of groups that have a common interest that when they meet, whether it's for the purpose of what they're meeting for, whether it's garden club or Little League Baseball, I can tell you right now that when the kids are sitting in the dugout, it's not all talk about baseball. There's other stuff happening. There's other fellowship happening, the events of their day. And as we talk this morning, you know, that's what fellowship is, or part of it. Lastly, you know, in your bulletin, not lastly, but right at the top of the first page there on the inside, says, we are a fellowship of Mennonite Christians committed to continuing the work that Jesus Christ began through worship, nurturing, and mission. So we identify as a fellowship of Mennonite Christians. That's how we identify. So some of these organizations are just very loose, like Hunters. Well, you know, I can tell you, that not all the talk at the cabin is about hunting. Actually, if it were, I'd probably have given up hunting a long time ago, because that subject can run its course. But there's fellowship that happens. It's when we spend time together. So let's read Acts 2, 42 to 47. Now, this comes on the heels of Pentecost. Last Sunday, Tony talked about a Pentecost. What else is last Sunday called? Mousetrap Sunday. If you don't get that, you'll have to go back to the video from last week and listen to the children's story. I'm not going to take the time to go into it. So, Pentecost happened. Peter was preaching his heart out to the believers, not to the believers, the believers were there, but to the Israelites. And in verse 36 of chapter 2, he says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all who call on the name of the Lord, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number daily. This morning, as I was going over what I was going to say again, the cut to the heart jumped out at me. These people, after hearing what Peter had to say, were cut to the heart. You know, today we might call that conviction, the Holy Spirit's conviction. But being cut to the heart, that has a different feel to it. That's like, it's pretty gut-wrenching. I don't know, is that the right word? Gut-wrenching? They were cut to the heart. And Peter, he was warning them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And then about 3,000 people responded and said, "I need to do something. What can I do? What should I do?" And he says, "Repent and be baptized." And then, I don't know how many days passed, we come to the verses of what we're studying here this morning. Starting in verse 42, it says, "The Fellowship of Believers," the subtitle. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship," the group, "and to the breaking of bread and to prayer." Now, the breaking of bread here that they're talking about, and we'll go into this a little bit more, is like the Lord's, the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, remembering what he did for us. "Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So, what does that sound like to you? Those last couple verses there. What does that sound like? To me, it sounds like they were in each other's homes and they were visiting. That's what it sounds like to me. Okay? I'm going to tell you a story. My aunt and uncle, Clarence and Susie Weaver, lived, when I was a young boy, they lived over here on, is it East Bonesville Road or Bonesville Road, whatever, where the old King's potato chip plant was. And they were dairy farmers there. And so if you can picture where that is, Panorama Drive is up here, and you make a right and you come down, and the farm's right there on the left. My cousin Lisa tells a story about Grandma and Grandpa Weaver, my grandparents, dad's parents, and Paul and Willis's uncle and aunt. At that time in their life, they called and they say, we want to come and visit. Going to come visit. And Lisa used to joke, and I don't know how much of this story is true, to tell you the truth, but Grandpa drove slow. He was a slow driver at that age in his life. I don't know if he always was or not. But the story goes that they looked out the window, and there comes Grandma and Grandpa down the hill, and they said, okay, time to clean up before they get here. Like I said, I don't know how much of that story is true, but it's a story that sticks in my mind from 40 years ago, 45 years ago. I didn't tell you that story because it's funny. I told you that story because they were coming to visit. So, now hear me. Hear me now. I'm looking in a mirror as I say these things. We do a lot of things right here. The way we rally around someone who is sick, the way we support those in missions. I mean, the last two little soup or sandwich meals, both raised about $4,000. Man, for a congregation this size, that is exceptional. It is awesome. Now, this might sound like I'm patting you on the back before stepping on your toes, but I think we've lost our way a little bit with fellowship. Now, we still have fellowship meals, and they are great, and I think we're going to start them again. But this visiting thing, I think we've lost our way a little bit. And I'm looking in the mirror when I'm saying this. Now, we can say it's cell phones and social media that are taking the place, or TV, or automobiles. Pick your generation, then you can pick whatever you want. But I think we can all, I think, or at least I see it, that we've lost something along the way. You know, the early church that we're talking about, they were meeting in homes. They were, it says in the, well, the early church, they experienced a short time of peace. And I believe this was kind of right there. Now, Jesus was crucified, and there was a pretty much unrest. But I believe there was a short time of peace. And I don't know if this was during that time. But then the church was persecuted. In John 15, verse 20, Jesus says, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, everyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. I don't know about you, but I haven't felt a lot of persecution. Do I think that might change? I do. I think that might change. I don't know when, but there's a lot of signs and things happening that feel like things are going to change. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but the letters in the New Testament, the books of the Bible that Paul would have wrote and some of the other writers, were mostly written to small groups of believers in areas that were feeling persecuted, that were persecuted because of their faith. In the Thessalonians, if you read through the Thessalonians, those books, they were doing well. And Paul says in verse 13, I'll just read here the first couple of verses, starting verse 13 in chapter 2. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you and who believe. For you, brothers, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, the home church back in Israel, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own countrymen the same things the churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. Then over chapter 3, verse 12, it says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when the Lord Jesus comes and all his holy ones. May he make your love increase and flow for each other. So this little fellowship that was meeting in Thessalonica, Paul instructed them and prayed for them that their love may increase for each other and overflow. This past year, or year and whatever it is, has reinforced my resolve that we need each other. Man, do we need each other. When we weren't meeting, that felt strange. Not only did it feel strange, but if you're in isolation, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a scientist and I'm not a researcher, but if you're in isolation, I believe that will cause depression. If you're alone, you're going to be more depressed. You know, anybody remember The Lone Ranger? Yeah, I used to listen to, or watch it, actually, at 6 o'clock every Saturday morning when I was a kid. When my parents were trying to sleep in, I was getting up to go downstairs to watch The Lone Ranger. And I wanted to play that tune this morning as I came in, but I'm about as techie as a cement block. So that didn't work. But there are no Lone Ranger Christians. What do they say? Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. We need each other. We can get caught. I can get caught up in coming home and sitting down. And I told Rick might use him as an example. I like. Watching the 10th Generation Dairyman, I think it's called, on YouTube, because my kids used to work over at the farm. Dwight and Devin did. And Rick used to work at that farm, too, when he was a teenager. But that stuff can suck up your time. And you can start to veg, and pretty soon you're wasting time. Can happen with TV, can happen with any hobby that you have. It can happen with anything. We need each other. Being alone is not good. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Well, what happens when iron sharpens iron? Friction. Well, how does friction, what makes friction? I'm not a scientist or a teacher, but you have to touch. You can't do it. Ken, do you mind sharpening me a little bit? He can't do it. He can't do it from afar. We need each other, and we need to be there, in person, side by side. When a lot of good things can happen online. You can learn, you can do things, you can, I mean, they have virtual school. I'm guessing people learn, maybe not, but not, hear somebody say not. Some people can learn that way. I wouldn't be able to do that real well. But losing my train of thought, believe that or not. So, it might come to me. Let's go back to verse 46 in chapter 2 of Acts. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And I believe that was the 3,000 people. Now, where else can you put 3,000 people? It's not going to be in my house. It's not going to be in your house. But it's you know, it needed to be a public place. And they were meeting together, and they were listening to teaching and so forth and so on. But right after that, it says, they broke bread in their homes. Again, this isn't talking about breaking bread and eating it. This is talking about the Lord's Supper. What did Jesus do for me? What did Jesus say? When you do this, do it in remembrance of me. What did Jesus do for me? They were talking about what God has done for them in these small homes, in the homes, the meeting in small groups. I'm not saying a small group Bible study. I'm just saying meeting together. They were meeting together, and they broke bread, whether they had communion or they were talking about what Christ is doing in their life. So then it says they in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. There is something bonding about sharing food. Eating together, laughter, and conversation. It's just healthy. It's just good. But I believe there's a stigma. You know, years ago, everybody cooked. Now, not everybody cooks. So I think there's a stigma out there that says, if I have somebody at my home, I need to serve them this special meal or this special dessert or this special this or that. I don't think so. Peanut butter and jelly is just fine. Grilled cheese is just fine. Coffee or tea is just fine. A cup of water is just fine. It's not about what we're sharing. It's about we're sharing. And we're doing that around conversation, and we're doing it around the table. There's something to it about being together in that setting that draws us closer. Again, we're talking about what God has done in our lives. That doesn't have to be a question. It can be informal. And then, sometime I would like to have a peanut butter and jelly fellowship meal. Everybody bring their favorite peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Could be guava jelly, raspberry jelly, strawberry jelly, whatever. Or a grilled cheese whatever. So in China, we get this little magazine called the Voice of the Martyrs. And it's free for all you Mennonites out there. It's free. All you have to do is call, and they'll send it to you. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, I think every one of you should read it. Because it reminds us of our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted. Anyway, did you know that in China, I'm not going to have this number correct, but I think it's 632 million security cameras. That's one for every two people. And they are being watched. And there's a system that you get points against you if you're seen. It's their facial recognition cameras. So they can recognize that it's Harold Eberle or Viola or Paul. They can see who it is. They know who it is. So facial recognition cameras that, and you get points against you if you go to church, or there's cameras in churches. That's why there's so many house fellowships in China. They told a story of this big apartment building in one of the huge cities over in China, where this group of believers was meeting for a meal. They were meeting together for a meal. One of the things is it's a bonding time. The other thing is if the authorities come in, they're getting together for a meal. So families from this apartment building, a couple floors, got to know that, hey, we're Christians and we want to have you over, and now they accepted Christ, and it grows and grows. Well, they were meeting, and they found out up on the upper floors, there's another house church meeting, and they didn't even know it. The point is, the persecuted church feels the need for this fellowship in an intense way. Just last night, we had people over to play games. And we had a great time. We had a good time. We laughed hard. And we just had a good time. We even had a little food, some coffee, decaf, so I could sleep. And but when they left, see ya. We'll see you tomorrow. You know, if we were living in a persecuted church or the persecuted area, we might have said, Father, we just ask that you would protect them on the way home, that the authorities would not meet them and catch them, that you would keep them safe. It's at another level. It's at another level. And I think we're going to get there someday. Will it be in my lifetime? I don't know. But it might be in my children's lifetime. And we need to show the way of how this works. So praising God, they were eating together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. They were having a good time. They were enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily. So back in 1990, some of you guys would remember that I went to a program called YES, Youth Evangelism Service, and, well, it was either September or October. I know it was cool in the evenings. We had this, we went to Charter Hall, which is on Chesapeake Bay near Perryville. I can't hardly remember the building, but it was called Charter Hall, and we went there for the purpose of a silent retreat. So, I apologize if I told you this story before, but you're going to hear it again. So, a silent retreat. So, I was there with 20 people, but we weren't supposed to talk and interact. This is supposed to be a time of us getting to know God better. So I don't know if it was Friday night, Saturday night, or whatever night it was. There was canoes available, so I took a canoe out onto the bay. Now, this was an inlet. It wasn't like the big Chesapeake Bay. But I took a canoe out, and on shore, this is a memory that's been seared in there. On shore, one of the people, I don't even know who it was on shore, and they had made a little campfire. Well, out on the water in this canoe, it was chilly. It was cold. And that fire looked so inviting. You know, I could just imagine going up there and warming my hands up and feeling good. But you know what? I knew I wasn't welcome there. I knew I wasn't welcome at that fire. Because of the purpose of our week, our weekend. I knew I wasn't welcome at that fire, so it wasn't an option. Well, when fellowship is done right, it's a sweet aroma to our Lord and to the others around us. Unlike my silent retreat, our fellowship amongst each other and with whoever we're meeting with should say, hey, come to the fire. It's warm here. It's a good time. There's sweet fellowship here. There's intimacy here. Come join our fellowship. These things take intentionality sometimes. Actually, most every time, it takes intentionality. To invite somebody over or invite yourself over. Yeah, that's kind of unheard of now. But don't you want to be somebody that says, come on over anytime? House doesn't have to look perfect. Doesn't anyway. Takes intentionality. But to get together, to pray together, to laugh together, to have fellowship with one another is so important. To say, come on over. We're having grilled cheese. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for each person here and the gifts that this body of believers brings to the table. Lord, I thank you for the fellowship that we do have, the good, sweet fellowship that we do have. But Lord, I ask that you would help us to do better at this, to not get soaked up in our selfish ways, but to be that fire that people see that looks welcoming and is welcoming. Lord, help us to do those intentional things better than what we do. Lord, it's by your grace that we are who we are. We thank you for that. Lord, right now, I just pray for those people in persecution right now, that you would give them strength and courage to go on. And as we live our lives here in freedom now, Lord, that we would not take that for granted, but to be bold in our actions and in our faith. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Guys, you want to come up for a closing song?
this closing song talks a little bit about some of the fellowship that happens right here at church.
Right Now Media is still available. What you're about to see is an introduction to a Bible study series that can be found on Right Now Media. And it's an example of what kind of content is there and available. After this video, Rick's going to come and share a little bit about June 5th, and then we'll have the benediction.
The idea of calling God as Father does not exist in other religions or philosophies. Calling God as Father is a miracle. It is a gift received by faith, not earned. When we come to God on the understanding that He is a loving Father who has adopted us as His children, then our natural response is to hallow God's name. The kingdom of God is completely opposite to the kingdoms of this world. This king took the opposite. He was left broken so we can be whole. He was rejected so we can be accepted. The purpose of prayer is not primarily to get things from God, but to align our hearts, purposes, and desires according to God's will. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us This makes us acknowledge the fact that we are human, helpless, weak, and vulnerable. Just like how we ask for daily bread, we need to ask for daily forgiveness. Temptations come from our own selfish desires. If the pull to a temptation is from within, then where do we get the power to overcome this temptation? We are powerless on our own. We need help to live victorious. Yours is the kingdom. This reveals God's sovereign authority over all things. Yours is the power. This reveals that He is infinitely sufficient to execute this sovereign authority and will. And lastly, yours is the glory, reveals that the ultimate goal of all things is God's own glory. We will never experience and enjoy the intimacy and power of prayer when we don't understand what it means to come to God as our Heavenly Father.
Good morning. Just to comment to you, Dwayne, you said meeting in small places, that there was 3,000 people meeting there when Peter was preaching. There is a place where 3,000 people can meet, and that is Bonesville Park, June 5th, if you want to try it. Tony has been praying for that. He hasn't given me a number what he's praying for, but he said it's beyond what I would imagine. So I'm sure. So I'm just here this morning to give you, just inform you that this coming Saturday, June 5, Flowing Waters is having a music day in the park at Bowmansville, starting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and going to 8 o'clock in the evening. We are going to have a meal there, a free meal for anybody who comes. Well, the first 200 people that come will get a free meal. I'm asking you as a congregation, if anybody would like to bake some chocolate chip cookies or some Rice Krispie squares, if you're interested in that, talk to my wife Anita, and she can keep track of where we're at. We ask that you individually wrap them so that we can kind of act like we're trying to care. So I appreciate for those who have already said that they will bake for us, and we've got numerous ones, but if there's anybody else that still wants to, just let us know. Just to give you a little bit of a rundown, at 2 o'clock, Brian will be playing some music and just kind of introducing the thing. At 3 o'clock, Colin Musser will be singing some praise and worship songs. In the middle of that, Jaime Santiago, he is a guy from Restart, which is a recover house over in Strasbourg. He is going to be sharing his testimony. And then Justin Zimmerman is going to be doing a juggling act around 4:30. At 5:15, there will be some bluegrass music from 5:15 to about 7. And then from 7 to 8, something like that, 7:30 to 8 o'clock, we'll be just kind of ending it and asking for anybody for prayer, or allowing the gospel to be shared, and an invitation. So if you want to join us anytime next Saturday afternoon at Bonesville Park, and there will be food for you. So thank you.
Sounds like fellowship. Rise and we'll have a benediction. Lord bless you as you go out this week and serve Him. Amen.